Howdy, y'all. Good evening and welcome to episode number 112 of Wick's Picks on the Hound, presented by Kentucky 811, Call Before You Dig, and The Botany Bay, the place to buy things to do stuff with. Have a fun hour of music and conversation coming up for y'all, albeit a little bit somber. Going to be paying tribute to a Lexington music legend, Nate Waters, who passed away a couple weeks ago. You might know him from bands such as Infected and MP Presley, along with many, many others, but have a couple of his longtime friends and bandmates in the studio, those being Andy Hipschman and Ben Aubrey. And you guys, wish the circumstances were better, but really happy to have you guys here nonetheless to shine a little light on Nate and just his impact on the scene. Yeah, like I said, I wish the circumstances were a little bit better, but yeah, glad to have you guys here nonetheless. I had very minimal interactions with Nate through the years, but each time I did, it was just a very eclectic but very heartwarming, very, very in your face, but just a very, like, just a nice guy all around. It felt like, I don't know what to say other than just he was a very, very strong personality, but a very loving personality and a very, very talented musician. And we're all worse off for, him no longer being with us. But I guess with that in mind, and I'll start with you, Ben, curious when you first kind of crossed paths with Nate, or when you first met him and kind of started this long, wild relationship you've had.
Well, I had moved to Lexington, and my band, we saw a flyer one day for a Phoenix Park show that we hadn't actually been asked to play it, but our name was on there, so I made a few calls and found out it was Nate that booked the show. And I think I had met him in passing before that, but hadn't really spent time with him. So once we got connected, we were like, well, yeah, we'll play the show, we would love to. So we went, played the show. He was, you know, all over the place getting things set up, you know, but he stopped what he was doing, helped us with our gear, talked with us, and said we were really good after we were done with our set. And I think that show got rained out.
Yeah.
And we ended up going to Pat's basement to finish it, and it was, from what I can remember. And after that, it was, I slept on his couch for a while after my lease ran out where I was living for quite a while. We played music together in some bands. When I started Paper Bridges, he offered to play bass, and he took us to the studio. He booked maybe all of our shows. He was just, like, so supportive of music and anybody that had that dream.
I guess I'll switch it over to you, Andy, now, and curious your thoughts. I know we were talking briefly before we came on the air here, and I think you said that you first met Nate in a Spanish class back in school in the day. Is that right?
Yeah, and I've told the story about 1,000 times to everybody because it's just great. But, you know, for some reason, I won't go into why he did it, but he fell out of his desk and passed out on the floor. And I helped him out, and he said I saved his life, and then we were just always friends after that. But we started playing music together shortly after that, so we were about 15, 16. And once we started playing music together, that's like all we did. For, man, I don't even think I wasn't in a band with Nate until I was in my 30s or something like that. Toured the country a bunch, saw a van burn down together, all sorts of really awesome stuff. But he's always been like, he was so good. It's like what Ben was saying. If somebody wanted to be a musician, he would do anything he could to help you out, because that was his love, like, more than anything in the world was music. And I hope I don't get too much flack for this, but sometimes I would see him playing with guys and I'd be like, man, I wonder if that guy, it seemed like he just picked him up out of nowhere. Like, the guy just came out of nowhere and all of a sudden he was playing in his band. You know, that guy could have not been playing guitar the day before, and Nate would have seen him and been like, you know what? I really think that you could play guitar, and I think you should. And like, he would do things like put him in his band. He'd be like, you're in my band now. You're going to learn. He'd give him a, he'd like, what do you call it? A boot camp of music. You'd like every day, like, okay, you got to learn all this stuff. This is what we're doing. You know, I'm surprised people didn't get burned out by him, but he was so freaking supportive, you know, that even like the most, you know, green player could go in and feel like they were accomplishing so much being with him because he just made them feel great. And I think somebody said at a recent thing for him, I think it might have been at his funeral, somebody said something like, he always made you feel like the rock star. And I think that was like a really good description of how he was. Like, you were the most important person when he was talking to you, even though he might have not let you get a word in. But you were the most important person. Like, you were the important person in the room. If he booked a band and that band came to town, that band was the most important thing. It wasn't his band. You know, if anybody made money at the shows, which none of us really made much money back in the day, I don't, you know, but if anybody did make money, it was for the touring act. It wasn't for him. It was for helping out bands who were on the road and struggling. And that's what he was all about. It's just, man, he was so good about that stuff.
Well, I think something that really kind of strikes me as interesting with kind of how you and Nate first met and crossed paths and came to playing together was earlier you'd mentioned too that you kind of grew up in a classical kind of orchestral mm-hmm. background. So to go from that to, you know, into kind of more of the punky kind of grungy stuff that Nate did a lot of times was which not to say that, you know, I know plenty of folks, you know, when I was growing up in my teens that, you know, started off, you know, like punk metal kids and turned into, you know, bluegrass pickers, you know, and their adult years and stuff. So there's definitely a lot of transformations that go on kind of that time just in terms of, you know, music tastes and everything else. But curious, you could tell me a little bit about, I guess your transformation in that regard from classical into, you know, kind of the stuff you're doing now and the role that Nate played along the way.
Well, I think this is kind of the most important part of it, is that it was all music tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because it was punk rock didn't mean that was the only kind of music, you know? So, and I've always been like that too. And I think we bonded on that. I think we bonded on the fact that we were really just into music, you know? And I'd always wanted to write music. And, but when you're playing classical in high school, you know, all you're doing is playing other people's stuff. And so when I first started playing, like my first band I was ever in, was with Nate's old drummer. And I remember Nate being like, you know, that's awesome, you're in a band. I didn't know you were into that thing. And then once I got to hang out with Nate and we got together and started writing music, just the love for it is really what it's more about. But he did give me my first punk rock CD. I'd never really listened to punk rock before.
Who was it?
Well, this is a debate between me and him for years. I say he gave me the Offspring Smash record. He says he gave me a greatest hits of a Bad Religion record. Thing is, I had both records when I was that age, and I know he gave them both to me, but I can't remember which one's the first one. But he swears it's the Bad Religion, and I swear it's the Offspring. But he also says Offspring sucks, so there's no way. But, you know, when you're 15 or 14 or whatever, Offspring was all right. Whatever. But so it was a transition from one style to another, but it was really just driven by wanting to learn and grow and just write your own stuff. And he was such a good writer. Like, he could just, like, he could come up with a song so quick, man. And one of the best lyricists I've ever met. He really knew how to tell a story in a way that was, you would listen to some of this some of the subject content and you might shy away from it, but he wouldn't. Like, when I heard him tell his stories, it didn't make you want to shy away. You wanted to listen. You wanted to hear what story he was telling and know all about it, you know. He was brutally honest too. So, you know, he didn't leave anything out. And it was, so being around him made writing easy. You could be in a room with him, and if you were struggling on a part, he would be like, oh yeah, here's what we should do. And eventually we just got to a point where it was just, that's how we were, you know.
Good answer. One thing I picked up there a second ago, you kind of talking about, you know, Nate's songwriting in particular, you know, very, you know, story-driven storytelling, and also very, you know, raw and brutally honest, maybe even to a fault sometimes. But, you know, I just, when I thinking of that and hearing you say that, had me thinking in my head, you know, it's, that's not really any different from all these other, you know, really good songwriters that we love in Kentucky, whether it's Tyler Childers or Chris Stapleton or whatever. Yeah. Like, they have all those same traits with their songwriting and how they tell a story through their music. It just is maybe a different, brush they're painting with in terms of the music style that's getting slapped on the back end of it and stuff. But at the core, it's the blueprint and the foundation is all very much the same. And so it's cool to see that even though Nate was making very different music from what, you know, a lot of us think of as like traditional Kentucky music, he still had all those elements of what we think of kind of in our wheelhouse as that regard.
Yeah,
you know, it's still got all that stuff, just it's being going about in a different way,
I guess. And he was real inspired by a lot of like great song or great storytelling songwriters too. Like John, he loved Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. Loved Tom Petty. Liked Elvis, even though I guess Elvis didn't write a lot of his own stuff. But you know, huh?
John Prine,
loved John Prine, Ryan Adams. You know, just a lot of really great song, like storytellers, you know, in their songs. So I think, I don't want to say like he was trying to be that, because I don't think Nate was ever trying to be anybody. But I think he was always inspired by those storytellers and wanted to tell his own stories in that same way. And he did a great job at it.
Ben, I want to switch back to you here for a moment. You know, we've been talking about, you know, kind of how you guys both came into contact with Nate and things like that. Was curious, and I'll come back to you again here in a sec as well, Andy. But any particular memories that stick out through the years? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot, especially right now, just, you know, everything's still being so fresh in the mind. Would you mind sharing a couple, you know, particularly fond memories you have of Nate that stick out through the years?
So I've been doing music videos for a long time, and at one point, Nate kind of came on board and was my partner, which he didn't really know anything about working cameras and this and that, but he had opinions and he had ideas, and those are valuable. But one of my favorite videos we did was actually for our band Paper Bridges. We took his son out into the woods and basically turned him loose and just act wild. So the basis of the video was this kid runs away from home and finds freedom in the woods. And anyway, the song is called Disappear. It's on YouTube. But going out there with Nate and Gary and just spending the day like being wild animals, it was so much fun. Another one would be I was filling in on a guitar and I was going to open with an acoustic set at a show in Ohio. And on our way up there, me and Nate decided that we just had to get some dangly dagger earrings. We had to have them and bring them back into fashion. And so we made a stop at Florence Mall purely for that purpose. And we went all over that entire mall, looked in every jewelry store, every kind of different place that might have it. We finally found some. And we both had to basically re-pierce our ears to wear them. But we declared we were Dagger Brothers for life after that. And I don't know, for some reason that just, I mean, it was so silly. But, you know, that was the kind of things that, you know, Nate made these crazy decisions and made things so much fun. He was so much fun to be around.
What was the verdict? Did you guys bring that back, that fashion trend?
I don't attribute it to us, but I have seen them a lot more than we did before that happened.
Cannot confirm or deny, sounds like to me. To be determined.
I'll go with that.
I love it. Andy, I'll switch it back over to you now. Same question. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that comes to mind, but any, you know, one, two, maybe even three memories or just a couple things that maybe stick out in your head is particularly profound amongst the rest?
I mean, there's so many. One I said at his funeral, and I think it's just, I just love the story, even though it sounds like he's being mean, is that we had a little recording, or it was a rehearsal space / tiny demo studio we had downtown for a little bit, and I wanted to record I'd always wanted to record like my own song where I played everything on it. And so one night I was out there super late and I recorded this whole song and mic'd everything up. I was so proud of myself. And the next day we had band practice and Nate showed up. I was like, Nate, check this out. I want you to hear it. Tell me what you think. And listen to the song. And when it was done, he was just like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard you do. And the reason I love that story is because, you know, he was so honest about everything. If I needed an opinion on something, even if I just wanted his honest opinion on anything, I could always ask him. If I was writing a song and I was like, I don't know if this is good or not, if it was not good, at least in his eyes, I would know really quick. He'd be like, yeah, that's not good. You know, he needs work or, you know, whatever. But also, if I felt like he was like a person you always, when you're writing music, you always threw your ideas off of him because you could always get like an honest response back, an honest reaction. Like, you know, if it just wasn't working, he would tell you. And that doesn't mean that he was always right or that, you know, you had to listen to what he said and do what he said. But it did mean that you had an honest person to, like, tell you how he felt about it. And I mean, and honestly, he was usually right about a lot of it. He was a really good songwriter. So and he loved hooks, really loved hooks. And if your hook was off, you knew it. And like, he'd be like, no, it's just not drawing me in. We need to do something else. But that's one thing. I mean, there are tons of stories I could tell. I remember, this was reminded me of by our drummer in our band back in the day, but so our van burnt down in California. It was this big thing. And I remember we were taking this bus ride back, and it was like a three-day bus ride. It was awful. And we smelled like smoke. They wouldn't let us carry our clothes on the bus. It was just this whole awful experience. And we're coming back, and I remember we were sitting at the bus stop. And the main reason I remember this so vividly is because our drummer sent us a picture of it that one of the guys who was with us on tour took, and it's this picture of just the four of us sitting there, and Nate's got his arm around me, he's talking to me, and Kevin's got a notebook out and he's writing it down. And he wrote the song. We had this song called I-5, which is all about that van burning down and, you know, everything happening on the road. And he was literally dictating to me while Kevin was writing down the lyrics to that song, like in the middle of all this chaos. I mean, it was crazy. And it was like everything he did, he just breathed music. It was crazy. Like I picture him walking down the street and seeing a bird and being like, oh, maybe I can write a song about that. You know, just like he can do write a song about anything. It was crazy he did that. I guess another kind of funny memory I have is that, you know, those crackers, the chicken and a biscuit crackers.
I don't know that I do.
They're these little crackers, chicken and biscuits. It's like one of Nate's favorite things. And we got them on video one time. And we're in the van and he's got his little crackers and his little cheese whiz. And he's just like putting cheese on the crackers, just singing a song about it. Chicken and a biscuit, chicken and a biscuit, eats one, swallows it. Chicken, and it just kept doing that through the whole thing. And I don't know why, but every time I think of that, it just makes me smile. It's such a funny thing. Probably more funny to me because I was like sitting there watching it happen, but it's always been a funny thing in my head.
No, I totally get it. And I mean, I've had minimal interactions with Nate, you know, compared to you guys, like I've said, but when you've got so many, you know, weird and quirky and funny stories like that, it's hard not to just, you know, keep them flowing once they start coming out, you know? But no, I love what you said about just Nate being never being shy, obviously, in his own songwriting to kind of share his stories and opinions or when he's talking to his friends and stuff. I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you might not always agree with what the person's saying, but at the same time, it's you appreciate the fact that they're giving you their unfiltered opinion and not just being a yes man or not just BSing you or whatever. It's at the end of the day, that's going to help you, at least in my mind or in most cases, I would imagine, become a better artist or a better person or whatever, just making you think more rather than being so rigid and narrow-minded, or I don't know if that's the right way to think about it either, but But yeah, always considering more perspectives is never a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm pretty sure that's why that's one of the reasons I think he started MP Presley too. I think that at a certain point he just wanted to do his own thing. You know, just this thing that was like purely his. Like, I literally remember him saying, I'll just get people to play my stuff. That way I don't have to listen to anybody else tell me what to do.
Because
towards the end of like Infected, it became more of a thing where we were all kind of writing and we were all doing a lot. Because Infected started, it was him, you know. And then eventually evolved into like a band full of guys writing songs. And I think with MP Presley, he was like, I really want to do this thing. And he'd always wanted to do something that was very Elvis-like. And I remember seeing the first pictures from that band and just being like, man, that's awesome. He had like the suits and he had like the greased hair and the acoustic. I mean, it was great. And I was always so proud of him in everything he did musically. I was pretty proud of him in everything. I mean, he was a great dad. You know, I think his son said recently about like how Christmases were just crazy because they got like everything. And I mean, it's true. I've been to some Christmases at their house and it was crazy. And I thought I spoiled my kids. That man spoiled his kids. And, I think it's really, it's sad that he's gone, but there's so many awesome pieces of music that are going to be out there forever now. That he wrote, and there's so many of us who are going to remember him for so much awesome stuff that he did. And it's not just the music. I mean, we talk a lot about the music because we're musicians and we all grew up playing music together. But mm-hmm. I mean, just in general, like, he treated people so well. He treated people, everybody, equally, which sometimes could, you know, be a problem, but you know, he took in people who other people would be like, no, I'm not messing with that person anymore. And he'd be like, no, they need help. I'm going to try to help them if he could, you know. And it's like Ben was saying, he's like, my rent was up. I need a place to crash. Nate's like, yeah, come on over. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've crashed on Nate's couch at some point in my life, you know, or, you know, and if I needed help, I could always call him about anything, you know. And he was like that with everybody. I mean, you did not have to be his friend to get treated like a friend by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be some random freaking guy off the street, and he's going to treat you like, you know, your best friend if you, you know, get to know him and stuff. He loved to talk. But, you know, usually when he talked, he was at least saying something that was like halfway interesting or funny.
Yes, I can attest to that 100%.
So, I mean, even if he was going off on a tangent, it was usually something that, I mean, I don't know. I've listened to so many Nate talking at me conversations, you know, but it, like he was never dull, and he always had something to say. And if he didn't agree with you, you'd know it. And if he agreed with you, you'd know it. And, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I could go on for hours about the boy. Love him.
His memory is going to live on, that's for sure. Well, we're going to go ahead and fire up a few songs from various bands that Nate has been in through the years. And then when we come back, got some more questions and stuff I want to dig into you guys with. So stick around, y'all. More music and conversation is coming up next. You're listening to Wix Picks on the Hound.
Change of scene. Everywhere it's the same day. Whisper love. Howdy, y'all. Welcome back to Wick's Picks on the Hound, presented by Kentucky 811, Call Before You Dig, and the Botany Bay, the place to buy things to do stuff with. I am your host, Matt Wickstrom. Y'all just got done hearing a few songs from Nate Waters and Friends. Those were Paper Bridges with The River, Infected with Try Again, and to close things out, N.P. Presley and the Ghost of Jesse Garin with Run This Town. Unfortunately, this is a welcome back for segment two, but also a goodbye as I sit here in the editing room post-show. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties and lost the second half of our interview with Andy Hipshman and Ben Aubrey. Really sad we couldn't bring the rest of that to you guys, but also wanted to thank them because I really enjoyed getting them in the studio to talk, although wish obviously it wasn't under such somber circumstances. So hope you guys really enjoyed that and hope you guys are able to make it out to the tribute show for Nate taking place at the Burl on July 10th. Going to be a lot of great music, I'm sure some tears shed, some laughs, but more, most importantly, good memories and good music. So it should be a night to remember. Hope some of you guys can get out there. In the meantime, that does it for us on this week's double episode of Wick's Picks. Want to once again thank Candace Barbie from The Grove, along with Ben and Andy, for joining me on this special extended version of Wick's Picks on the Hound. Also, huge shout out and thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky 811 and the Botany Bay, as well as all of you listening, whether that is on 96.1 FM, thehoundfm.com, or our mobile app. Really appreciate you tuning whatever way you so choose to do. It means a whole lot that you do it each and every week. Speaking of, hope you guys will join us again next Wednesday, July 15th, for episode 113 of Wick's Picks on the Hound. I'm going to be joined by the Brother Smith boys, Wes and Aaron Smith, to talk all about their new album, Homeless, swap some Burl memories, you know, with it being the Burl's 10-year anniversary week coming up next week, and much more. Should be a good chat. Hope you guys will join us for it. That is, once again, July 15th, 8 p.m. Hope to see you guys then. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Treat yourselves and one another with grace. Get out and support some live music, perhaps that Nate Waters tribute at the Burl on the 10th. And we'll see you back here next Wednesday on The Hound. Arrgh!